Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill, the pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Happy New Year, everybody. 2025, we are here. Good morning to all the graveyard shift workers. Good morning to all the overnight dancers. Hopefully you made it killing to start the new year. Good morning to all the garbage men, firefighters, police officers, kids. Kids are on break right now, so your kids better be asleep. You better be asleep right now. Go get those Z's, grow, get healthy. Anyway, love it. Happy New Year. Spadoni, Happy New Year. Shasky will be back on Monday. What's up, Spadone?
How you doing, man?
Good to be back.
Yeah, we've missed you. Bonte Hill, believe it or not, we missed you. No, Bonte walked through this morning, through the hallway, through the front door, both doors, actually, because we got a door to the sales area. Biggest grin and smile on his face. You know why? Because college football is on fire yesterday.
Sports are on fire.
It was just incredible. It's just been a fun weekend of sports, week of sports, really. And thankfully, Brock Purdy's arm, his elbow's yes. Okay, Bonte. Freaking out on Tuesday.
Oh,
I'm sure you caught a little bit of it.
Yeah.
It was, or if you didn't, you saw it on social media. Shasky just, you know, he didn't know what to do. The worst season of his life, he said, for the 49ers.
I saw the clip, and I said, ooh. I'm going to log out of Instagram right now. It's not the worst season that we've ever endured as Niner fans. I get a sentiment. I get the disappointment, the expectations, but really, what were the expectations of the 49ers? A lot of us thought they couldn't get back to the promised land after losing the way they did last February in Las Vegas. But look, man, it's been a doom and gloom season. I get it, but I actually took some positives away from the Monday night loss against the Detroit Lions.
To me,
it didn't matter if they won or lost. To me, who looks good in terms of the youngsters? Do I have a player in Ricky Pearsall? Well, you know what? I was encouraged at this route running, his sure hands. What about the little pivot route he ran on the sideline in front of the Detroit Lions? I like what I saw from Ricky Pearsall. Renardo Green is a player. All of a sudden, I got Renardo Green and Diamondor Lenore at corner. So whatever I do with Traverius Ward, who, by the way, shout out to him, they welcomed him in a baby boy, the Wards did. If they move on from Traverius Ward, then I know I got two good corners, Renardo Green and Diamondor Lenore. I'm good. There's a lot of positives to take away, but as you mentioned here, Brock Purdy's elbow is good. And you're right, the college football playoff. Let me start here before we get back to the Niners. We got a lot of Warriors stuck to take on the Sixers today. The Sixers last night, Spadoni, they were rolling up 9. They were not up 9. Paul George is having a game. Sixers are on the verge of going to 10-3, improving to 10-3 in the month of December.
No, they've been playing well.
Playing well. The Kings ended the game on a 15-0 run.
Oh, no.
15-0 run. Sixers lose.
That's, you know what that tells me? Doug Christie's got this team back, baby. That's what that tells me. Mike Brown was the problem all along.
Man.
Vivek was right. And you know what? Watch out for the Kangs and De'Aaron Fox, a great leader.
Lit the beam last night. Was great yesterday. Oh, not only did they light the beam, the Kings players and coaching staff went to the roof to take a picture in front of the beam.
Oh, my. When they fired Mike Brown, someone said they're going to light the beam at half mast.
I saw that.
I was like, oh, my God.
That's really good.
That is really good. But they've won two in a row, the second row of Kings. The Sixers, though, they were 8-2 in their last 10. Now, I believe they're 7-3 in their last 10. They'll be down to Chase Center later today. So the Warriors are trying to get back on track after that brutal loss at Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh, my God, that was disgusting.
Cavs are good. They Cavs just handled the Lakers, good. Too.
Yeah, like, no, I was watching that, too. Yeah. Cavs have a championship look.
Yeah.
They have a championship look. But this college football playoff, and I've been looking for the right word or how to phrase this, but I believe Spadoni, the college football playoff is going to become the second most watched sporting event in all of America.
Mm.
I think the expansion of the college football playoff, something I've been waiting on for so many years, but not only is it a moneymaker, it's going to be a ratings boost for any network. These bowl games for quarterfinal games. I mean, wow, the theater. Look at the uniforms. Look at the teams that are involved. And then the household names that it's going to create. Like Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State. We can't wait for this guy to leave for the NFL. He's got two more years left. And they had a graphic up of him looking like Julio Jones and T.O. who he was comparable to. And I agree with all that. This guy's a stud.
He's a physical specimen.
He's a problem, but Spadoni, I do believe what this tournament is going to do. Like March Madness in college basketball for many, many years. We're going to be able to grow with players, especially with the NIL and all the transferring, everything like that. This is the second best. Like, we talk about the shift, right? The shift, how it just changed baseball. Taking away the shift, having a pitch clock. Oh, wow, we can digest baseball games in 2.5 hours. Great. This college football playoff, I think, is going to be up there. You know, the Super Bowl is one thing, but I don't think anybody's going to touch a college football playoff in the next
five
years.
A guy named Cam Scataboo is now a household name around the entire United States of America. Cam Scataboo, redshirt senior running back out of Arizona State University by way of Sacramento State, baby.
Yeah.
So you know what? He's our guy. I'm going to claim him.
You're
all right.
Because
Sacramento likes to claim us all the time, Bonte.
We'll
try to claim them, too. but no, the guy's 5'6". He's listed at 5'6", 215 pounds.
Yeah.
He's like a new muscle hamster. That's exactly who's my guy. Doug Martin. Doug Martin did not like that nickname, by the way. It was not his favorite.
That is a good one.
But it was just fun watching. He was literally trying to do everything he could in that game. He was receiving, he was running, he was throwing the freaking. He's throwing dimes out there.
4th and 2. Dude, this Coach Dillingham is so unbelievable.
Real quick, they are unbelievable. I don't know who the defensive coordinator is, but my God. 4th and 13, you're doing everything right leading up to that point. You don't need to do a cover zero blitz. Who are you? Who does that? Greg Williams? Steve Wilkes? Like, what are we, cover zero? Oh my God.
Dude, and they got no heat on you.
They picked it up perfectly.
They picked it up perfectly. I was like, oh my God, he's got too much time.
Right.
And he threw the bomb. So at that point, I picked up the weak stop because I thought the Rose Bowl is going to be an all-time classic.
I can go for some wings right now.
And we're all disappointed. So I got me some wings up. The girls are out of the house.
What's the go-to?
Lemon
pepper? Okay, all right. You like blue cheese, ranch, garlic?
Ranch. You go ranch.
All right, there you go.
You know, you get some strips on the side. Yeah, I went.
Cajun fries?
I went cheese fries.
Okay, not mad at that.
Cheese fries. It was New Year's. I was like, you know what? I'm watching football. I'm a cheat meal my first day.
Hey.
First meal of the year. Whatever.
I got some In-N-Out. I'm not mad at that. So there you go.
So I'm watching. So I got the phone on because I'm thinking, all right, Arizona State's done. So when I go pick it up, all of a sudden Arizona State, I got the game on in my car, and I'm like, what? They're about to tie it? So I got the game on the phone. I'm rewinding it back as I'm stopping. And all of a sudden I'm in the car when I pull up to the house, and it's 4th and 13. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Arizona State's going to do this. Because remember the second down play? They smacked the hell out of Texas. And I was like, wow, look at them score to the football.
I felt like they kind of got hosed because it should have been like a 3 or 2 yard loss on the run or whatever it was. But they called forward progress,
I guess.
It was fugazi, but whatever.
But, yeah, I went crazy in the 4th and 13. The cover zero blast was like, oh, my God, they picked it up.
And even leading up to that point, there was two opportunities from Texas to win the game. And the kicker, God love the kicker. I forget the guy's name. But even Sarkisian goes up to the guy before he misses the second one. He gasses him up, put both hands on his helmets. They both smile at each other. Because I'm listening to it on the radio side, too. So when they're describing it, it's so much funnier that they missed it because they say it after the fact. You know, he was just gassing up. They smiled at each other, and then he goes out there and misses it.
On the TV broadcast, I think Bert Auburn is the kid's name. And they were talking about how, like, this kid is so money from inside 40 yards. They're setting him up perfectly. I'm like, oh, you can just see, like, the broadcast jinx, like, Grim Reaper standing behind the kid. Like,
And shout out real quick, as you mentioned, the television broadcast, Joe Tessitore. Might have been a masterclass in everything.
Tessitore is good, alongside Jesse Palmer. Jesse Palmer, to love this point, he's like, oh, this is bachelor. Perfect. Just center the ball for the kicker. They didn't center it. It was from the right hash, and he still missed.
Most predictable miss ever.
It was the most predictable miss. And Scott and Boone Company are going to overtime, and they take the lead, and it's 4th and 13, and they picked up the cover zero blitz perfectly. And Quinn Ewers is a star. Oh, my gosh. So, anyway.
At least for the day, he's a star.
At least for the day.
Coach Askew, by the way, if you didn't listen on Tuesday, he thinks that Kyle Shanahan might draft him.
Quinn Ewers?
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers might be back in college. Who knows?
Well, apparently he said he could have, he's like a $6 million NIL deal on the table.
Yeah, no, he might, there's people out there rumoring that he may go to Notre Dame next season. Oregon may need a new quarterback. They do. Dylan Gabriel, by the way, looked very small against Ohio State. For his draft prospects, I did not like what I saw from Gabriel.
Tommy, if you heard this one before, Oregon looking small in a championship window. Mark Grandy.
But they go to the Rose Bowl, right? It's already 7-0, and the crowd's roaring, and I'm already having withdrawals. By the way, shout out to everybody out there affected by the New Orleans strategy.
Yes.
The Sugar Bowl got postponed. Our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody who was hurt out there. What a senseless act. Just disgusting to have this year start like that way. So shout out to everybody in New Orleans. Hopefully everybody is safe. So they postponed the Sugar Bowl, and when they did that, I started having withdrawals. So I was like, damn, maybe I should have went down to the Rose Bowl. Right. And so when it got postponed, I'm not going to lie to you, Spadone, I looked at my phone and looked to see if there was a quick flight. I'm 10 minutes away from SFO. Is there a 12 o'clock flight down to LAX? Right. I'll get my ass to the Rose Bowl.
Spirit? They're bankrupt, though.
They have one available. So yeah, probably
they have
not.
One still,
no,
though.
No, probably stay away from that. Nobody had anything available at that point. But that Rose Bowl with that setting and the grass,
it was like,
just picturesque. It's beautiful.
And you were there last year when you watched Michigan-Alabama. By the way, Michigan-Alabama Part 2.
Part 2.
Alabama still loses, even though everyone still wants them to be into the college football playoff for some reason.
Ridiculous.
Kirk Herbstreit was getting community notes. It was hilarious on Twitter. but there is something about like the outdoor scenery when we're getting all these domes. And I get it. Yeah. Like for like the East Coast, like that has to be a thing. But let's just have like... It sucks that Levi Stadium isn't having these games.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm getting it back out to. Kind of tie it locally. Because they did for a little bit. They had, Clemson, Alabama, right? And Dabo Sweeney famously said, I don't know where the hell I am.
I'm in the middle of California.
I don't know where the hell I am. Santa Clara, where's that? Like, that's the lasting image for me when it comes to college football here in the Bay, is that we had a chance to maybe be part of that rotation going forward, and now we're not. But to your point, just there is something special about, the Big Ten versus, and I know it's not, they're both the same conference now, but the Pac-12 school, Big Ten, Rose Bowl, like New Year's Day, that's what it was for me growing up. That's what I would watch with my dad, whether it was USC, whether it was Penn State, right? And by the way, Penn State, maybe they are going to get the monkey off their back finally.
We'll see. By the way, Lewis Riddick. I like Lewis Riddick.
Yeah, he's good.
I like
Lewis
Riddick.
He's great on the broadcast. Yeah, I like Lewis, too.
He speaks with so much intensity.
I'm surprised he hasn't got another front office gig. I know he's really good at what he does broadcasting, but he wasn't like a scrub or anything. Like, he was part of a respected organization with Andy Reid in Philadelphia, so I don't know what's going on there. But, yeah, a banner day for college sports yesterday.
You brought up the grass fields, and I was actually thinking about this during my break. There's nothing like a good grass field during a big game. All right, like, we're going to get that at Arrowhead Stadium, where the grass, it's not as green because it's cold, it's winter. That's football.
Right.
That's football.
They're going to be at AT&T.
Notre Dame, Indiana, which is great to kick off the college football playoff. But I'm thinking to myself, how does South Bend, Indiana, Notre Dame, how are they playing on next turf? Give me the grass.
Right.
Give me that great grass that they used to have that would grow high, slide on the opposing teams. Ohio State, we're watching high, like, give me the grass again. Give me the grass fields. I need it. Like, that's what's so great about Michigan and Alabama, right? Tampa Bay, it's raining to start that bowl game. All of a sudden, the rain clears up. It's sunny, but you see the all-white uniforms in Alabama with all the green and all the paint on it. Yeah, it's dirt. It's hard-hitting. Yeah. Paint's flying. The end zones are painted. It's grass. Give me grass fields in big games, like that Rose Bowl grass. It's just unbelievable. It's the best grass. It's the best setting, I think, in all of sports. I can't wait to go back. But give me a good grass field, Spadone, in big-time games. Like Pittsburgh, even though they lost to Kansas City on Christmas Day.
But they had the grass.
They had the grass, man. Give me that grass field. I hate turf. I hate how turf has ruined some of these iconic stadiums and iconic visuals of these stadiums. Like the Big House. The Big House used to have grass. Give me grass. And I'm not talking about weed. I'm not talking about turtle pie. I'm talking about football fields.
Oh, it could be both. Por qué no los dos, right? Right. But like we won't get into that.
Oh, what's that?
It's a little Spanish. You know, by the way, I haven't seen you since the Doobie Awards because you were over there. But turtle pie, there's certain callers and people that we got to see for the first time in the flesh. I didn't expect Turtle Pie to look like that. I'm going to be honest. You guys have seen him before. He's hooked you guys up with some goodie bags.
Oh, yeah, to lose your Tom Beattie and the studs in his ear.
Now,
along with a bunch of weed.
Now, Robin Sambruno, I haven't seen before. You've seen in the past, looked exactly how I thought Robin Sambruno was going to look. Tony in Oakland.
Unbelievable.
Roaster of the year, Tony in Oakland.
Roaster of the year.
Maybe she'll make an appearance later on the show today. She's called the last few days.
She will probably make an appearance. Around 9:45, probably.
The Twilight Zone. There we go.
Twilight Zone.
But we haven't really got... Antonio
in Oakland?
There you go. It's just Antonio in Oakland. There you go. Every time. Yeah, I love Antonio because I always say it as a producer. He is very succinct in what he wants to talk about. When I'm screening a call, know what you want to talk about, people.
Yeah.
The producers in the back don't want to hear your life story. Just say, this is Antonio in Oakland. I think the Warriors are going to be fine. Steph is still the guy. Look at that. There you go. And that's usually his calls for most every single time of the Warriors. But other than that, what did you think of, you know, the NFL, NBA, Christmas? Like, we haven't been able to talk in a while, Bonte.
I thought it was fascinating. Netflix, obviously, with the NFL games, and obviously you're tapped into it. It was tough because Wemby was going crazy at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks.
There's a lot of good games.
Wembanyama. I thought the better games were produced by the NBA. I thought it was a step in the right direction for the NBA.
Okay.
If you could bottle that up. Knicks Spurs start the morning. A lot of people are not going to wake up for that. I don't know how much Wemby has translated, but it became box office by the second half. And then the second game was Mavericks and Timberwolves. And this Timberwolves team, you watch Julius Randle just become a complete train wreck, but it was a fascinating basketball game. Luka gets hurt, but you got Kyrie going crazy. You got Anthony Edwards holding on for dear life, and they win that game. It was a good basketball game. Then you get Warriors-Lakers.
It was the game of the night?
No. You get Sixers-Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
The Sixers trying to turn their season around, and they beat Boston Boston. Very good basketball game. You get Warriors-Lakers, Steph and LeBron. Turned out to be a very good basketball game. And then even the nightcap, the Nuggets and the Suns.
Yeah.
Very good basketball game. You got Kevin Durant, you got Jokic. I thought the NBA, it was a step in the right direction. I think they had a really good day. Texans are obviously fading, and we watched Lamar. Lamar was great.
Yeah.
He had the Beyonce concert and whatnot.
Beyonce Bowl.
The NFL's going to do what they do. They're going to try to take over every holiday.
And I think they've already taken over Christmas.
I think it's
over.
Ratings-wise, sure.
Yes.
Ratings-wise, they're going to get it because middle America, they're going to look around and say, why do we care about the Sixers?
Yeah.
Why do we care? Like, there's a lot more. Obviously, football's going to be king. But I thought the NBA held their own on Christmas Day. I really do. It was a good day for them because they need some positive PR.
Right. That's what it is. As we're doing positive PR right now about college football, which is the second most watched sport in America behind NFL football.
This like, playoff is great.
You know, to your point, when you opened up the show saying this is going to be the second most watched sporting event other than the Super Bowl, and you're right because we just can't get enough football. It doesn't matter whether it's college or not. And yes, give me more football. Like, this is what we've been wanting. Yes, we're going to have some blowouts. Like, even in a blowout, though, I was surprised. I didn't expect Oregon to get blown out by that much.
Well, wasn't it great? Like, watching the blowout. So, because I got the sits, I was like, wow, okay, Ohio State's
they looked like another level.
Three plays in.
Yeah.
And then they force a punt, and they move the ball, and they punt, they get the ball back, and they go 14-0. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this may be a blowout. I don't know what Oregon can do. They're trying to run the football. They can't run the football. They can't stop the pass. They can't stop the run. But you start to see the stars of tomorrow with Ohio State. Jeremiah Smith. Who's the number receiver number two? Ibuka? I forget his name. But he's going to be a star in the league. He's going to be a nice little player. Not a star, maybe, but a nice little wide receiver.
Ibuka.
Yep. Trayvon Henderson, Junkin, the running backs. Going to be good. They got that defensive line. Caleb Downs, the safety who left Alabama and went to Ohio State. I want this guy on the 49ers. This guy looks like a playmaker. He gets his hands on all type of footballs, deflections, near picks. You got guys who are going to be ballers on Sunday. So then you're watching them just flourish and demolish an Oregon team that looks so good and had a Heisman Trophy finalist in Dylan Gabriel. There are some good things you can take away from a blowout. I thought Ohio State looked very impressive in that blowout. It was fascinating.
Caleb Downs, his uncle, by the way, Dre Bly. Did you know that?
Wow, so I did not know that.
In his blood.
I did not know that. What year is he? Is he a junior?
He's a sophomore.
Sophomore.
Yes. So he
is he a redshirt sophomore?
No, so he played, the year last year for Alabama, this year. So he could technically come out, right? Am I right? Correct with that?
No, just he has to come out. He has to play 3 years.
So it has to be three. Okay, that's what it is.
So
okay.
He may it's be a redshirt.
Okay.
So if he's not redshirted, damn.
He's not.
Got to wait another year for Caleb Downs?
Yeah.
So that's what was fascinating about the ball. It's like, how much are they going to dismantle Oregon by? They're up 34-0 midway through the second quarter.
Right.
It's Oregon.
Right. Oregon's usually doing that to other people.
And look how hard Oregon had to try to score that touchdown before halftime. It was almost depressing. And then on top of that, we didn't get to this. Chris Fowler is like in the booth saying, well, you have no choice but to come out for the second half if you're Oregon. He was basically like feeling sorry for them.
Right.
It was unbelievable. Chris Fowler's tone just taking shots at Oregon. So anyway, I'm fascinated with college football playoffs. I'm fascinated with sports. We're a week away from the NFL playoffs, Bado.
Well, I mean, I thought you were going to mention the Australian Open coming up shortly. Bonte Hill, come on.
Come from the
land down under.
Don't do that to me, man. Where's BG Tennis Station at? Where's he at? He's actually texting about the Warriors. He's freaking out about the Warriors. We'll get to all that stuff. Hey,
we got to get to the Warriors. We need some Bonte Hill calmness here, people.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that.
No.
Do you want calmness with the Niners? You want calmness with the Warriors?
The Warriors are scaring me right now. Bonte, you're the face of my Golden State Warriors. You got to help me out here.
Panic meter might be out.
Who knows, man?
Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Anthony Slater is going to join us at 8:30. Cam Emmett at 9:20. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? 888-957-9570. Roasters, what is happening? Happy New Year. We got a buffet of things to talk about. The Niners. Joshua Dobbs. Caleb Downs is on my mind, man. I can't get Caleb Williams, number two, out of my mind. The guy's
pastronaut,
a baller.
The pastronaut.
The pastronaut. Joshua Dobbs is going to start on Sunday. Does anybody care? We'll talk some Dubs here as they get ready for the Sixers later on tonight at Chasiner. As a segment, will be brought to you by Chilled Out of Body.
From down and out to up and in. But can they advance? Texas must convert 4th and 13.
It's a blitz look here. Quinn Ewers trying to audible.
To stay alive. Can they hook up? Touchdown, Matthew Golden!
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
Joe Tessitore, Jesse Palmer on the call for ESPN, Arizona State. Oh, every game. They tie the game at 24. They take the lead in overtime, 31-24. Texas, 4th and 13. Viewers, the Golden. And you heard Jesse Palmer. Looks like, they're audibling. It's a blitz look. Blitz look. What's the point?
The worst blitz I've ever seen in my life.
I got picked up so easily.
Nick Sorensen thought that was a horrible play call. All right? No,
Steve Wilkes is somewhere saying, I'm sort of built for that. Come on, man.
Like, the horns are up and the forks are down, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a three. That's a three. Forks down, horns up.
But it was a good season. Like, for ASU, that's the greatest football season they've ever had, right?
I mean, they were picked to finish last in the Big 12. That conference that Lovin scoffed at. They were picked to finish last in the Big 12.
And then
they win the Big 12 championship. They had some big-time wins. They even beat Kansas State in Kansas State, Manhattan, Kansas, which is not an easy place to play, Spadoni, because you didn't know that. You beat up on Iowa State.
Sure, yeah, no, that's Kansas State. Noted for being very difficult.
Hey, Manhattan, Kansas, man, tough place to play.
Right. Topeka, I'm sure.
Not a single person in America could point out Manhattan, Kansas.
Wichita.
Hey, I'm telling you, man.
Chalkers.
Driving through
Wichita
Kansas.
State.
Not easy. They got two airports, right? Anyway. But Arizona State, they lose.
That's how you know you're big time. You got two airports.
Yeah, you got two airports, baby. One in Lawrence and one in Manhattan.
How many does California have? Hold on.
Are you talking about the state? The state's big time.
The state in Kansas, yeah. California. I mean, LA's got five itself.
I know.
Did you know I found out there's a little little airport in Concord?
I did not know that.
Buchanan Field
Airport. There's a little golf course and a driving range right next to it.
Wow. You knew that?
Well, I live by it. So.
Can you fly out of there?
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to be like like rich to have a private plane out there.
Oh no, so it's like a private. Like, so I'm saying, like, there's like little rickety, like Monterey.
No, it's not like
an
SFO or like, Oakland type airport. That, like, it's like a private jet airport. Okay. Like, right. I know St. Mary's sometimes when they fly out, they'll sometimes fly out of there. It's a little bit closer, obviously, than Oakland or San Francisco. But
Santa Rosa, I think, has an airport too. Where you can fly out, take
LAX, Hollywood, Burbank, Long Beach, John Wayne, Oakland, San Jose, Palm Springs, San Francisco, San Diego, Sacramento, Fresno, Monterey, Santa Barbara, Redding. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot.
There's a lot going on.
California,
in Kansas. There you go.
Yeah. No, I don't know if there's two in Kansas. I don't mean to take a shot at Kansas. I don't mean to take a shot at Kansas, but they get a lot of recruits there. Shout out to the Jayhawks.
Rock Talk?
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Yeah, that's what it
Rock
is. I don't even know what it is. There you go.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
I always like the symbol, little Jayhawk. Cool.
So we'll get Notre Dame, Georgia today at 1 o'clock. That'd be nap time, but, you know, your boy will probably get up at around 1:15 to watch that
one. You'll put it on.
We'll lock in for that one. We'll thug it out. We'll thug it out. 405, we need to chat back in 2025. We had enough of the timeout. Oh, man, just a one-time thing during the Doobie Awards. What else has been going on around here? All right, so you got college football playoffs. We know that's great. And if you want to call in about that, your thoughts on that, 888-957-9570. I find people who complain about the playoff to just be boring people, just to be lame. Because, yeah, sure, there's some flaws in the system. They will tweak the system. But the playoff, it's awesome. It's awesome. We've needed this for at least 30 years. And it's awesome. Anybody complaining about the college football playoff, go seek help, please.
Well, the only thing that I would tweak right now, maybe it's not a tweak, and maybe it's just something that they're going to have to deal with like the professional teams do, is when you have multiple weeks off, it's going to hurt you even more in college than the pros, I think. Like I'm looking at Oregon yesterday. That looked like a team that just was a step slow.
Yeah.
And a step, like, just they were groggy. I don't know what it was. It looked like a team that had a lot of time off.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see that a lot in college, in Major League Baseball, but then when you see it with football all the time. If you're a great team, it usually doesn't matter. If you're like a Kansas City Chiefs, if you're LA Dodgers, usually it doesn't matter. But for a college team, like, that's when it comes to head coaching. That's comes to Dan Lanning, the head coach of Oregon football. He did not have his team prepared.
No.
And Ryan Day, for a guy that has been eviscerated left and right because they didn't beat Michigan but could still win a national championship, that had to have felt good for him and all that shoe polish in his beard.
You know, them losing to Michigan may be the best thing to happen to Ohio State. The way they lost, the embarrassment of what happened at the Horseshoe, and to get that time off and get one more crack to end their season at home on the right foot against Tennessee. Then they go out there and blow out Tennessee. It's like, oh, now we have some momentum. Now we have a shot. Now we play a familiar foe that we lost to early in the season where we felt like we should have beat them in Eugene, Oregon. And you get that rematch at a neutral site at the Rose Bowl, where Ohio State is known to win a lot of Rose Bowls. When you think about the Rose Bowl and Rose Bowl champions, I think of Michigan, Ohio State, I think of USC. Yep. Those teams win them. And the dark horse is Washington. They won some Rose Bowls as well when I was growing up. But those teams live for Pasadena. That's what they do. And so it was the perfect store for Ohio State. And to your point about having a time off, with kids, it's because you go away for a little bit. You go away a little bit. I don't know, man. It is tough. They'll try to figure that out. There's going to be some flaws in the system.
Yeah.
But I think overall, this is a slam dunk home run hit. This is a slam dunk. Yeah. Right, I personally would want 16 teams like D1AA.
We'll probably get there.
We'll probably get there because
it's
such a money
maker. That 18th game in the NFL schedule.
Absolutely.
We'll get there with college football.
And you'll get to the point where the top seeds will get at least regional games.
Yeah.
So, you know, Arizona State being a top four seed, maybe that game's not in Atlanta.
Mm.
Maybe that game gets moved to Phoenix, Glendale, Arizona, where they're at.
Or Allegiant,
maybe it gets,
right?
Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, L.A. Maybe it'll be a West, kind of like the NCAA tournament in basketball, where you get those neutral sites. Oregon, okay, if they're a one seed, okay, maybe that second round game's in Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, where you have a regional home field advantage. So there's some tweaks here and there, but I think overall the product is going to be awesome. And Oregon, look at them just missing tackles. All they did was miss tackles and have bad angles.
But
they were embarrassing.
I got to tell you, no team in college football history has looked better in losing in big moments than Oregon. They got great uniforms.
Great uniforms. I didn't like the combo. I wasn't in love with the combo yesterday.
They just have so damn it. Like, it's so many. It's too much.
Like,
honestly, they're built for the NBA with the amount of jersey combinations that they do. And speaking of things I've jumped the shark, the fact that the Lakers were wearing their whites in Chase Center, it's like, what are we doing?
That was a little weird.
What are we doing?
Yeah, I didn't like that. Anyway, the Warriors.
Bonta.
Where are you at with the Warriors? They're 16-16 now. So the first 15 games, they go 12-3. The second 15 games, they go 3-12. Now they're 1-1 after beating the Suns Saturday night. Very good game. Down 9, Jonathan Kuminga takes over. And then you get the Cavaliers game on Monday, a revenge game, and they score 11 points in the second quarter.
11 points.
They were 4-24 from the floor, 0-8 from the three-point line. It was awful. And then Cleveland comes out in the third quarter, and it's a 20-2 run, and they're like, damn, this one's over. So where are we at with the Warriors right now? 888-957-9570. It's Nick in San Jose, who we got to meet at the Zunubi Awards, which was awesome to see Nick in San Jose.
He was wearing the
tracksuit.
The tracksuit.
It was unbelievable.
That. Yeah.
How's he feeling about the Dubs right now? Where's the Dub Nation at? How are we feeling about Jonathan Kuminga? Because as I was taking time off, it feel like that's been a name that's been a polarizing figure around for the last 6 weeks. What to do with Jonathan Kuminga? Well, I'll tell you what. I certainly don't want to trade him, Spadoni. He's a guy I could build with as opposed to trading and trying to – where's the quick fix for a championship? I don't know if that's there. So can you build around Kuminga? Can you keep one of these youngsters here? Kuminga's dropping double-doubles now, and he does things differently that nobody else can do on the team, which is get downhill, put pressure on the rim. He's starting to hit his free throws. He's starting to defend a lot better on the ball. He's still got to fix some things off the ball. But where are we at with Jonathan Kuminga, Dub Nation? I've been out for a week. What has been the chatter around the Warriors, Spadone?
It's a lot of doom and gloom. We need to maximize Steph Curry. So, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same, the saying goes, Bonte. So, you know, they start off hot. 12-3 this season. Everyone thought, wow, maybe, whoa, Western Conference Finals? Maybe? Can this team actually get to a championship?
Deep playoff run? Deep playoff run?
Some were saying that. Not me, but some were saying potentially a deep playoff run. Might have been Bonte Allen, Joe Shasky.
No, not
I said might have been. Might have been.
Saying out loud, Shasky and I, that we both believe this team can make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
That was last season after the Warriors beat the Bucks. I just want to make that clear for all the people who are joining us for the new year.
I will be fair to Bonte. He did say this is a great start. Let's see what this team looks like after December when they have a massive, massive gauntlet. And they fell back down to earth a little bit. So I think this is about where teams, you know, where I would have slotted the Warriors. Like, if I told you this, Bonte, the start of the new year, this team would be 16-16.
Yeah.
What would your reaction be? Basically the same as last year was where this team was.
Yeah,
this time last year was they're on the same spot.
Honestly, I don't think I would have been surprised, but I am surprised at the 16-16 start with the way the season started.
Mm.
I did not anticipate a 12-3 start. What I anticipated was something around, okay, first 15 games, can you go 10-5? Can you go 9-6? Because you look at the schedule and you see all the new parts here, Spadoni, all the turnover from last year's roster to this season. But you started 12-3, so you're thinking, whoa, 12-3. Okay. Now maybe after the first 30, can I get to 20-10? Can I get to 21-9? We'll pick this up on the other side because I want to break this down, Spadoni. But I'm a little surprised on how they got to 16-16. And there's a lot of moving parts again. We'll get to it on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Monte.
Hey, Steve, 2-for-2 to start the new year. 2-for-2. All right, Steve.
Huge.
See you tonight.
Yay!
Warriors taking on the Sixers. Sixers 7-3 in their last 10. Warriors trying to figure it out here at 16-16, 8-8 at home. How's the other thing? They wanted to establish a home court after last season. Remember last season, Spadoni, they were very mediocre at home. Very mediocre. If I'm not mistaken, their record was 21-20 at home. Yep, 21-20.
Definition of mediocre.
Yeah, there you go.
And what are they right now, Bonte?
The definition of mediocre. Even Steph Curry said that.
Hey.
Steph Curry said, you know, let's hear from Steph.
How do kids say we're very mid right now? We're just very average. I think we understand that better days can be ahead if, you know, you're not in that big of a hole in the Western Conference. If you look at the standings, we go on a 5-6 game run. To us, that sounds like a lot, but it is like the numbers. You can make up a lot of ground pretty quickly. You know, it's a tough task, but that fine line between losing hope and confidence and understanding, you know, one good week, you're kind of back in it. That's where we are.
That's Steph Curry right there after Monday night's loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And think about this, as Cleveland is 29-4, their numbers are astronomical. They had a stretch of four straight games where they hit at least 20 threes. Second team in NBA history to do so, the Cleveland Cavaliers. But you think about the last week for the Golden State Warriors. They've had a players-only meeting. They bounced back and beat Phoenix. Kuminga has a great game. Back-to-back 34-point nights. Of course, they had done on Friday, last Friday against the Clippers, where they weren't even into it. They made a late run in the fourth quarter to make it interesting, but they were down 19 after three. And then you get blown out with Cleveland, where you don't even look like you match up. You don't even belong on the same floor as them right now. They're that good. Garland's getting 2 feet in the paint, blown by everybody. And you're trying to find consistencies, but only in the lineups and the rotations, and injuries are happening. You have all these lineup changes. Some guys are playing, some guys are not. Stephen Curry, look, he's getting defended at a high level, and you're starting to see his age. You're starting to see it. That's the reality here. Draymond Green, you're starting to see it. These guys are banged up and nicked up, and that's why you don't want Draymond Green playing the five for long periods of time, because he's at a point in his career where he can't do it for a long period of time. It's going to wear him out. So it's just we're at an impasse here with the Golden State Warriors and what to do before the trade deadline, Spadone. I don't know. I don't know if you trade the youngsters. Do you ride it out? Do you try to make a last-ditch effort out trying to build a championship team? Or do you wait until the offseason to try to get into the mix of making me trade before another superstar? You're in a tough spot right now if you're Mike Dunleavy.
Well, like that, and you just said it right there, a last-ditch effort to be a championship team. I don't even think that's like on the table right now. Like, I don't know what the move is or multiple moves that turn this roster into a championship team, quote-unquote. But I'll say this, and for the doom and gloom right now, I understand it. But when I look at the Western Conference as currently constructed, there's really one team that gives me like pause where it's like, all right, if it's a 7-game series against this team, it's going to be hard. And that's the Oklahoma City Thunder for me. Now, maybe other people think that the Grizzlies would be tough. They still have a lot of respect for the Denver Nuggets, who 7-3 in their last 10. They've played well. They've won 3 in a row. They're champions, obviously. Mavericks, I don't know. The Luka injury is a big question mark. Is he even going to come back? If he does come back, is this something they have to monitor? I don't know. Clippers are the Clippers. Kawhi, you know, he's going to stub his toe, be out for 4 weeks. It is what it is at that point. They've been playing well, and they played the Warriors well. The Rockets are kind of fugazi a little bit to me, just their style of play offensively. I know They don't shoot well. They have a lot of talent. I think it was a Ryan Hollins who does the pre- and post-game for them. He said it well. They rely a lot on their talent, and that's true. That can only get you so far in the NBA. And they're young, they're explosive, but if they have a bad shooting night, they're going to lose most likely. And then you get the Lakers. We'll see. The Lakers, could they make another move? Maybe. Maybe that's the other team that makes it. But that's
made a good move in getting rid of Russell, that's for sure.
They did. And then they bring in Dorian Finney-Smith, Shake Milton. They played well in their debut, actually, as Lakers, both of them, in a loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I like the move for the Lakers.
And then you got the Timberwolves. You got the Spurs. Spurs feel like one of those teams that has a lot of assets, and maybe they make a big move. And maybe they try to go all in this season. Not all in, but, you know, try to pair Wemby with someone for the future, potentially. So I want to take a quick pause here. If you're a Warriors fan that says, oh, we're done, the season's cooked, there's no super teams right now in the NBA. There's no super teams in the Western Conference. It's very deep. It's better than the East. And I think that's why we view it as such, because the Western Conference is so much deeper than the East that it feels like it's such a gauntlet. But you said, and all of us here, pretty much in the station, we all thought heading into the season, if they can just be a playoff team,
right,
win a series, maybe two, that's a successful season. Right now, they're a play-in team.
Yeah.
2 weeks, they could be the 5 seed. Like that, a 2-week stretch here, they're playing good basketball, they could be the 5 seed. Now, a 2-week stretch where they're not playing good basketball, they could be the 13th seed.
They could be out the box.
They could. But I'm just saying, let's pause the panic meter just for now, because I know they started 12-3. There's just no one in the West right now that I see other than the Thunder that really is going to give me pause saying, oh, well, there's just no shot for the Warriors this season. For me, that's how I view it.
You know, you look at Philadelphia coming up, and then you play Memphis Saturday. No Ja. Ja's going to be out.
AC joint sprain.
Yeah, he's out week to week. Then you get the new look King Sunday.
Did they lose like by 50 last time they played the Grizzlies?
Yeah, they got
both. Oh, my God. But they beat them at Chase early.
They beat them at Chase, but they lost and Steph Curry scored 2 points against them. Because Jalen Wells, look, I've laughed at Taylor Jenkins a lot. But I actually see Memphis growing as an organization. And I scoffed at the way they played. And, you know, I thought they had to clown to Dylan Brooks, who really held them back. But they rid themselves of Dylan Brooks. And now they look a lot more professional. They've taken the game a lot more seriously. And that was a team. Even though they were clowning, they had won 56 or 51 games before last season. And last season, of course, started with Job being suspended for 25 games and then getting injured. You bring in Marcus Smart. He's hurt. Desmond Bane is hurt. Everybody, they just dropped like flies. But Memphis is tough. And what they did in that game against the Warriors, which is, I don't understand why other teams don't do it. Now, I'm not mad if they don't do it. But Jalen Wells, the young man from Memphis who's playing as a guard by way of Sonoma State, he face-guarded Steph Curry for 94 feet. And now you're starting to see teams do that a lot where, you know what, we know Steph is playing off the ball. Let's just pressure him and don't leave him, whether it's running a box and one, running some press, but do not leave the chef and press him all 94 feet. He's already dealing with tendonitis in both knees, Padone. He's 36 years old. It's a lot of moving around for him right now. And so if you face-guard him the way Jalen Wells did from Memphis, all of a sudden, you need other playmakers to step up and make plays. And right now, enough guys are not making plays around Stephen Curry to help this team thrive.
And that's what's been, you know, frustrating from, you know, a Warriors fan perspective that loves Steph, and they're just used to him just dominating every single night. And now he's getting older, and yep. These teams, this is the NBA. They're not going to take it easy on you because they're getting older. They're not taking it easy on LeBron. They're not going to take it easy on Stephen Curry. They're not going to take it easy on Jimmy Butler. No, and if anything, they're going to make it harder because they know that they have the younger legs, and they're going to go after you. And to your point, they're going to pick them up 94 feet. They're going to be irritants. They're going to, you know, get in your face. They're going to be more physical with you at this age because they're going to try to stunt on you right now because you've been dominating the league for this long.
Exactly.
You know, now it's my turn, Steph. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to try to make you look foolish at times. And, you know, it sucks because you don't like getting older. I don't like getting older. You don't like it. No one likes getting older. And to see your heroes get older, you know, sooner or later, I'm going to look at my dad, who's 75 right now, and there's going to be a day where I look at him and he's like, man, my dad's old. Like, there's part of that. And it comes to that with your players that you love, too. It's like, LeBron James just turned 40. Bonte, I've been watching LeBron James since I was in fourth grade.
That's crazy.
No, since I was in fourth grade, I've been watching LeBron James. I have two kids now.
Yeah, that is insane.
Wild. It's crazy, right?
yep.
We've been watching Steph for this long. Like, and we're not saying it's over. No one's saying it's over for him right now. He's still a very still a very good player.
Still creates that gravity. Yeah,
if you're trading Stephen Curry right now, you're still demanding a massive haul. Like, that's like, he is still an amazing player, and no one's trading Steph. Don't worry. But it does concern you if you're a Warriors fan. Like, this championship window, then maybe there was never a championship window, but just getting Steph another ring right now seems like it's the furthest you've ever been from it. And I think that's why fans are having a hard time.
It's a harsh reality.
Coming to grips with it, exactly.
No, it's a harsh reality of where the Warriors are at right now with their superstar. And 888-957-9570 is a number. Where are you at with the Golden State Warriors here? You know, and Draymond Green falls into this equation as well. Is he going to be able to last this season with his injuries? He's getting banged up here. At times he moves great, at times he doesn't. He's got lower back issues right now. So where's he at? And this month of December, shooting-wise, it's dipped. It's dipped from his hot start from the three-point line. They still need him to be aggressive offensively. They need Draymond to shoot those wide-open threes. They need him to shoot from the perimeter. They need him to be aggressive offensively. Obviously, they need Kuminga to be Kuminga and be the player that he has been for the last 2 weeks, and we're seeing a glimpse of that. But is that going to translate to wins? He's only 22 years old. So probably right now, it's going to be tough to win a lot of games against good competition. Kuminga's learning how to win. He's learning how to play this game, and it's finally slowing down for him. And he looks awesome in doing it. But is there a tweak in the system that they need? Do they need to tweak the motion offense? Do they need to run more pick and roll? Do they need to run more high ball screens here? 888-957-9570. And plus the size, I think, is starting to get. The one thing about Cleveland, Spadone, they were so long and athletic. And they contested everything at the rim. Everything. Their guards are big. Their guards are quick. They're contesting every shot. I mean, good Lord. I was like, what? That team looks like they're going to be competing for championships.
That's the team that makes you feel old. Like, when you watch, like, that's like, and I watched it, I'm back, and they had a back-to-back again.
They had a back-to-back.
In Los Angeles against the Lakers. And the Lakers have been playing pretty well. And they just didn't skip a beat. They did. No. They got off to a hot start there. The Lakers came back a little bit, but then they're so quick. And, you know, credit to Kenny Atkinson, who right now is probably the leader in the clubhouse for Coach of the Year, at least for me, just with what this team's been able to do. Just blowouts left and right. Doesn't matter if it's the Western Conference or not. And right now it is looking like a 2 or 3 team. I don't know how much people are buying into the Knicks right now. They've been playing well.
Knicks are playing.
They've won 9 in a row.
Yeah, Knicks are going to be there.
Okay.
Knicks will be there.
The Celtics. And then the Cavs right now.
And then the Cavs right
the
now.
The Magic, we'll see.
We'll see about the Bucks too.
Yeah.
You can't sleep on the Bucks because of Giannis. We'll see where they're at.
I am sleeping on the Miami Heat. I don't think there's any Heat culture coming out there.
And not with the way Jimmy Butler
is talking. Yeah, that's even getting more nasty as it goes by.
I don't think you're a Jimmy Butler away for to go to, say, Warriors.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
And what it's going to cost you. I'm not there with that. So, 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Oreo Cookie in Oakland.
Oh, our guy.
Oreo Cookie, man. What's happening? What up, Oreo Cookie? Happy New